Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Queen Pod, a podcast all about the incredible rock group Queen. Other Queen podcasts are available and fortunately we're not making you choose. You can listen to them all, but just do please make sure we're one of them. My name is Simon Lupton and joining me is a man who loves Queen more than Delilah loves to pee on a Chippendale suite. It's Rohan Acharya.
Hello, mate. Better at these than I've ever been. Good Lord.
Well, it gives me something to talk about. So, Ro, ever peed on a sofa?
Yes.
Intentionally?
Well, is it ever intentional?
For Delilah, I think it was.
It was inevitable.
It was inevitable, yes. I have to say, my cat did pee on our sofa. But to be fair, we accidentally locked her in the lounge overnight. So, you know, it was our fault. But
she chose the sofa.
She chose the sofa. It was a new sofa
expensive.
As well.
Yeah.
So we took the cover off and put it in the washing machine and then read the instructions. It says, whatever you do, do not take the cover because it's air packed. So fortunately, it went back in. But anyway.
We digress.
And
Delilah.
Poor Pumpkin's never going to forgive me for sharing that story with everyone. Bless her. As always, we are being assisted by producer Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
Whatever.
There we go. A bit later, we're going to be looking back at the amazing Queen and Adam Lambert Rhapsody tour from last year. I believe that's the kind of thing that radio stations refer to these days as a throwback when you talk about something that happened 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm. But we have got a special guest.
We've got a very special guest joining us. Someone who tell us about their first ever Queen live experience.
Which is very exciting. I'm very excited to talk to
that. Before we get into that, let's get straight into Queen Are the Champions. This is the part where we get to share a moment where Queen either intentionally or unexpectedly have crept into our lives. Well, I say ours. This is the part of the show where Ro tells us how Queen has been in his life. Yeah. Ro, has that happened to you this week?
It has actually this week. Well, let me set the scene.
Oh, please do.
So, as you know, right, every week we record a pod. You know, we'd always come up with these Queen moments. And, you know, on a weekly basis, Queen would inevitably... I mean, Queen does creep into my life most days. Certainly every week something interesting would happen. For the purposes, I mean, to see a little bit behind the scenes, I guess, behind the magic, we have recorded essentially five of these in an afternoon. So my Queen moment of the week for this episode is trying to come up with five Queen moments in a week.
And when did you do that? Presumably a couple of weeks ago when we first set the date for this.
It was 10 o'clock last night.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, you struck me as a guy who does his homework.
I'm a very last minute guy.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm so intelligent.
Let's back
up. Do five in a day. How am I supposed to do that?
Because you said Queen is in my life every day.
Yes, but it's only been one day since I've started prepping.
Could you not remember one from a week ago?
You would have thought, but I'm not very good at remembering things, am I?
Just to recap for the listeners, your Queen moment of this week was last night having to sit and come up with a Queen moment for this pod.
Yeah, I'm just fed up with the homework.
One thing. One bit.
All right. on Monday, I was having a shower, and while I was in there, I managed to sing all of I Want It All from start to finish. Bang.
That's a great Queen moment. Thanks, Ro. A little insight into your life.
Sam, don't tell them I haven't had a shower in a week.
This is... Do you know, the first episode we did, I said I wasn't sure that this could sustain, and you could convince me, couldn't it? We're not even week in stuffed already.
I'm going to start writing them down as they happen from now on, right? I'm going to make a little note. Oh, when are you down again?
Okay, right. So, trying to... resemble some kind of professionalism, we'll crack into this week's chat. Okay, so we are going to look back at those crazy summer nights last year when Queen and Adam Lambert took their extraordinary Rhapsody tour across the UK and Europe. And joining us to do that very thing, I'm delighted to say, is amazing Suze Kempner.
Hey,
oh, yes!
Hello!
We're very excited to talk to you about this. So, yes, so a few facts firstly. This was actually the 14th time Brian and Roger had been out on the road with Adam.
Wow.
And they did 36 concerts, starting in Belfast on the 27th of May 2022, finishing in Tampere in Finland on the 25th of July. They played all across the UK, in addition to Germany, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Spain, Italy, France, Belgium, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and of course, as I said, Finland. As you know, they also slotted in a show-stealing performance at the Queen's Platinum Jubilee concert at Buckingham Palace, and very significantly included 10 nights at the O2 Arena in London, which is extraordinary. So, how many times, go on, Ro, you can go first. How many times did you see the show and where?
You saw it three times. Wow.
I'm going to try to do this as quickly as possible. So the tickets I had bought that were delayed and all that happened to turn out to be for Sunday the 5th of June, which was their first night at the O2, the night after they'd just done Buckingham Palace for the Platinum Jubilee.
Yeah.
So that was quite extraordinary because you're watching them kind of going, my God, they've just done that yesterday. Wow. And I took my sister along with that one. And that was a big thing because we were supposed to go and see Outsider together the year before and she got ill. Yeah. And she couldn't come with me to that. And so then to bring her to this was actually really powerful. But for this one, because I bought my own tickets, I sat right up in the gods.
Yeah.
And I was just surrounded by people who just sat watching telly, you know, and I was almost having to sing under my breath a bit. So Dana had the most magnificent time,
right?
Which was awesome. Shout out to Dana. But for me, I was a little bit frustrated, I think. But then I went back on the 17th of June with Podheads, who had got this VIP box.
Wow.
And producer Sam and I went along and joined them. There was 20 of these guys out there. I've got the names. I'm not going to run through them here. But shout out to all of you, because that was a night to remember. Because we were all Queen fans, and there was... everyone was just so lovely. It was like, within seconds of meeting, we're all just chatting away like we'd known each other for 20 years. It's sort of thing that happens with Queen fans, I think. Mm-hmm. It happened with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go into this beautiful box. I've never been to a gig in anything like this before, and John had been talking about how great it is.
Yeah.
It was lovely. Mm-hmm. You've got lovely seats. We were directly onto the stage, and from the moment it began, we were all on our feet, singing, dancing, roaring out the lyrics. Yeah. And at the end of that experience, I felt it was a night I'll never, ever forget. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very grateful, particularly to Katie Schwamm and Sarah Chapman for organising that entire event. I think they're incredible. B, for having that experience with my son, Sam, it was really powerful. But the thing that I came out away with most, it was the most fun I had watching Queen since the tribute concert.
Right.
Because that was the last time that I was allowed to be an unfettered Queen fan for the entire gig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But jumping up and down, loud as I wanted.
Yeah.
No one behind me going, oh, can you sit down, please? We can't sit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No inhibition at all. Mm-hmm. So that was absolutely magic. And then I also... Happened to go to the very last night at the O2 because I stole Fergus March's tickets.
Oh, did he
couldn't make
does
it.
Does he know
end.
You did that?
Yeah.
He knows it was you.
He couldn't make it in the end. So bless him, he rang
if he
up.
He didn't, he doesn't have.
They swiped.
No, it was done officially. I didn't literally steal the tickets. Bless him, he transferred them to me.
Right.
So I jumped in the car with Garrett Miller at the comedian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We just nipped over and just came to see Queen. Mm. And
he loves Elton John.
He had just been, I think, to see Elton or Genesis. I think he'd just seen Genesis.
Okay, right.
For the record, I believe that Queen did compare favourably. But what was lovely is, of course, these were then Queen productions, so we were very close. We were on the second row of seats just by the arena at the Brian end, on the Brian side. Mm-hmm. So, like, when Brian went out to the edge of the phalanx, he would be to my left and...
Amazing.
He was right in front of us.
Yeah.
And of course, 5 minutes before the gig starts, who should turn up in the row in front of me but the entire Lupton clan?
Oh!
I had no idea they were going to be there.
Oh, amazing.
That was the first time I met your wife, probably. Yeah, yeah. It was so lovely.
They all wanted to come.
It was because you told them they all wanted to come.
No, they're beyond me telling them now, but they know I would have... I wouldn't have been cross, just disappointed if they'd have said no.
Sure.
They surely must have loved it. I can't imagine anyone seeing that show and not coming away going like, even if you're like a casual Queen listener, if you then saw that show, you'd go, God, they're really good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. Right? So So I was so excited about the fact that you were seeing them for the first time.
Yes.
Which night did you go?
I couldn't tell
Sunday,
you, to be honest. I don't think it was. I think it might have been a Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, right, okay.
But my brother got the tickets as my Christmas present. He got a pair of tickets and we were going to go together see Queen for the first time.
Oh, my God.
And we got them at the end of 2019.
Oh,
so
my God.
It was Christmas 2019.
What
yeah, and I opened them and we just had the bone-chilling general election.
Oh,
so
my God.
I was so depressed. Oh, don't bring politics into it. Yeah. Well, tough, yeah, I can't not do it. I just remember being so depressed and then going, oh, I'm going to see Queen in the summer. And it was like the first thing that made me go, there's hope. I'll see Queen in the summer. But the first thing that happened when Boris Johnson became a jolly king with a huge majority is a virus... came in and stopped him enjoying the thing that he wanted the most in the world. So thank you, Comrade COVID, for that. But it meant I couldn't go see Queen that summer. Yeah. And then it's all right, it's rescheduled for 2021. And I remember saying to my brother, the build-up to this is crazy. It's 18 months. It's going to... And anyway, obviously, didn't get to see Queen at the O2 till 2022. So 2.5 years in the making for this concert. But it was also 37 years in the making.
Right.
I've wanted to see Queen my whole life. Yeah. I remember being 11 and going, if I'd just been born 10 years earlier... I could have seen Queen live at Wembley at this age.
Exactly.
It's like, now I don't wish I was 48 years old. But, but I can remember being a kid and being like, I wish so much I'd got to see Queen when I was any... And I thought I just never would get to. And I got to see Queen plus Adam Lambert.
So, and where
amazing.
Were you? Where were you?
Oh, so we were right in the front of the stage, the standing...
Oh my god!
We were in the mosh pit, yeah, and we got really near the stage, and we both got really pissed on tequila.
Excellent.
Kept going to buy tequila and coke. 25 quid for a pair of tequila and cokes, and we kept going. I'm going to get two more. I'll find you. And you have to find. I kept having to find my brother, and we kept having to find each other. But it was the best. It was so brilliant. It's not that I'm surprised it was so good. Of course I'm not, but I'm surprised it was even better than I thought it would be.
Mm.
Like, I know Queen put on an amazing live show. I knew this. Yes. This is not new
to me.
You've
seen it on
Yes.
The telly box.
They're kind of the masters of it when it comes to pop music, to rock music. But it was even better than that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a masterclass in how to do a show that is for everybody. There was never a dull moment. No self-indulgence.
Mm.
I got to see the three of them come to a mic and give a performance you'd give in a room of 30 people of 39. And it was magic.
Yeah.
And I cried.
Everybody!
My life.
still ahead within me. They each get their own little section. I know what the love of my life section is because I've seen it on YouTube videos, but I got to see that in the room, and me and brother were like drunk and clutching each other, like, oh God. and there's not like, they didn't do that song. Oh, they didn't do that song. Because any song they didn't do that I would like to hear, it doesn't matter.
No, because like, what would you kick out to make way for it?
Yeah, absolutely nothing. It was
it's
awesome.
A 2.5 hour freaking show.
And they do not stop. No. And you can tell that Brian and Roger still absolutely love it, and that's infectious. Mm. At no point are they phoning it in, because I don't mind doing live shows, but because they don't have to do this. They must love it to do it. And you can see that. You can see it on the stage, and you can feel it in the room.
And they connect with you personally somehow.
They do.
Particularly the closer you are to them, I think.
Yeah, and we were so close. Right. I mean, we were probably sort of
I started far away, gradually got closer over the three gigs.
You know? Oh, it was so amazing. Yeah.
What were your highlight moments? Looking back a year ago,
what
are the moments that still stand out? Like, I mean, there's no spoilers. Obviously, one of them is A Kind of Magic.
Oh, yeah. Right. Incredible.
I still think about fireworks flying out of Brian's guitar.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Incredible. But I have to say, I think. I haven't made this up, have they? Roger does These Are the Days of Our Lives.
Yes. Can't turn back the clock, can't turn back the tide. Ain't that a shame? I'd like to go back one time on a roller coaster ride when life was just a game. No use in sitting thinking of what to do. You can lay back and enjoy it through your kids. Better sit back and go with the flow. Cause these are the days of our lives. They're thrown in the swiftness of time. These days are all gone now, but some when I look and I find brand new. And I wasn't expecting it, and that really hit hard. Yeah. I thought that's such they
a brave
so
thing
sweet
to do.
Well,
yeah, that's a really brave thing to do in a show that is a big party. And it like should never go without saying what an amazing job Adam Lambert is doing. Mm. Not just of singing the songs, which he does beautifully, obviously, but of honouring Freddie. This is a show, Freddie may as well have been there because the whole show was a tip of the hat to him.
Yes, he's ever so present.
He is.
Yeah, which I don't think is a construct either. No. It never felt contrived that that was the case. And Adam is brilliant. He's an amazing showman.
Yeah.
His voice never falters, and you get to hear all your favourite songs sung brilliantly. Yeah. What's not to like?
And he's got the wit.
That's it. Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, Suze, but a while back when we were recording the pod, before we had our hiatus, we actually were anticipating the tour, and we came up with things that we really hoped would be part of the tour.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, I can't remember what we said about that, but fortunately, producer Sam does, and has got it. So he's going to remind us what we said, and we'll see if we actually did it deliver.
So back in, this was episode 30, this is the Freddie Mercury tribute concert.
Sure. Right.
You guys chatted about this. And the question, I think, was specifically like a deep cut track that you wanted to hear. Suze, you said Nevermore.
Oh, yeah. I just want to hear Adam Lambert sing Nevermore.
Such a lovely idea.
I really wasn't expecting
that. I can't believe they didn't do it.
Yeah. Where's the Nevermore section? There's no loving in my life anymore. The seas have gone dry and the rain stopped. To the breeze, whisper to me, please don't send me to the bath of never.
John said Don't Try So Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ro, you said Breakthrough.
Oh. Oh, sadly, they didn't do, but yeah. Luckily, they have now announced the Breakthrough Tour for later this year.
Yeah.
So that's great.
There you go.
So I'm
finally
very, very happy about
finally,
that.
Just yeah. 2.5 hours of Breakthrough. Breakthrough. If I could only reach you.
And Simon, you wanted Lap of the Gods Revisited.
I got it!
You got the Gold Alas!
Yes!
Yes!
And wasn't it great?
It was. I got to Wo La 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 La.
Yeah. Yeah. That was your specific thing. You wanted to do that at a gig and you got to do it.
Yeah.
It was. I was sat behind your head watching you go absolutely bonkers.
Well, it's funny because you were sat behind me.
Yeah.
And then, because I was at the front of the seating area.
Yeah.
Which was the most amazing seat. And I was very lucky, and so I was full Wo La La La-ing, and then I looked down, and just down at the front of stage is a lovely guy called Phil, who's Brian's driver.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And who I know. And he was looking at me, and he was just shaking his head. What are you doing? And I was just like... I said... And episode 30, Phil. I said, this is what I wanted to do, so of course
I'm
going to go for it.
I think that's lovely.
I think it's acceptable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was very thrilled to do that. Ro, you mentioned this amazing group of people that you met up with and you saw the show with, and we got together with them
the very next day. We had the first ever QueenPod AGM
suit. We accepted the minutes of the previous one and
sure.
You know, any other business apologies and absences.
Yeah.
But you then sat down with some of them, didn't you, and asked them
yes,
for their memories.
Yes, that's exactly right. I got to sit down with actual listeners of this actual podcast. It was so lovely. In this very room, actually, and
I'd love to hear.
I just asked them, just a whole bunch of them, what were their highlights from the gig? We'd all just seen it fairly recently, or within the last couple of weeks. So, I think one of the highlight moments of the gig for me was Brian May's solo. So, privately between us and everyone listening, traditionally, when I've been to a Queen gig, you know, first time I watch Brian's solo, and the solos are incredible. It's a demonstration of what this man can do with a guitar, and he's a scientist, and it's an artist, and it's incredible. Yeah. But that's usually the point of the show where I just quickly nip to the loo and come back for the end of the solo,
okay,
right? Because it's just it's the least offensive.
He's not a true believer.
It's the least offensive moment to do that, right? Because ultimately, you know, it's not like I'm missing the entire band, and
right.
So. I did that on night one, but I came back and I'm seeing this incredible visual. The man stood in space on an asteroid.
Yeah!
Big planets flying around it.
Hang on, I'm missing the best bit of the bloody show here.
Yeah.
So the second night, I very specifically stayed for the solo. Went for a wee-wee during Who Wants to Live Forever, you must know. So...
Sacrilege.
It's a boring song. So,
ooh,
it's boring.
No. Stop. Hush your mouth. Move on.
I watched it the first time. And I stayed for this stunning, stunning thing. And Paul Bradbury and PJ Davies had a little chat about they highlighted that. So, yeah, we'll just hear from them. How about you, Paul? What was your highlight track of the gig?
I wouldn't normally say this, but I actually love the guitar solo that Brian's doing on this tour.
It's so amazing.
Like the way, because it's always different. Every tour, he just puts like another little embellishment in or just changes it slightly. Or you sometimes get Last Horizon thrown in as well. And he's done what British listeners will know as the music from the Hovis adverts.
Yes, yes.
Apologies to anyone who doesn't know what that reference means. But trust me, if you are of a certain vintage and from the UK... That is a very special piece of music.
Da,
and it's
what, da, 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 that thing.
Yeah, beautifully done.
Was that Brian? Yeah,
that was the red
spot. I started off with Cosmos Rocks as well, because I'm one of the few people in the universe that loves Cosmos Rocks.
Right.
And the first bit of the guitar solo actually was the start of Cosmos Rocking.
Really? I pick up on that.
It was, you know, like, do, do. You know, and, you know... what is this? What planet is this? And all that kind of stuff. Oh, and it's yeah. that guitar bit. That's what caught me, because like you said, you think, oh, it's Brian's guitar, so he's going to do Lost Horizon, he's going to do Brighton, you know, rock a bit. And then it did. It started off with Cosmos Rocks, and then he went into a Cosmos Rocky Wave Show of it is. And that's what caught me off. You caught me off guard, because you start letting your thing down. You think, oh, I know what's coming next. I know what this sounds like. And the change, you know, putting things in like that, I was like, ooh, that's cool.
It's at the end of the O.J. Simpson documentary. The 8-hour O.J. Simpson documentary, yeah. They play that music because it's about, you know, the new settlers going to America.
Yeah, it's New World Symphony.
Yeah. But they played it and it really took me out of the documentary. I was like, there's the Hovis music and they're just showing the O.J.
It's just going to be a gloomy cobble street in Yorkshire. Tammy and Ella Sparks were the pair that won our...
Oh yes, our
competition that we had for Patreons technically not a competition, the giveaway to
the
Patreons.
Giveaway, right.
They're mother daughter from the States, and I asked them what were their most exciting moments.
My favorite part, let's see. Well, you know, last night they did The Show Must Go On.
Yes,
and it was just amazing. But I have to say, a kind of magic shocked me.
Yeah, that was
because
the one for me.
It was absolutely brilliant. And the light show.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Amazing. The production value and just the sound and what Brian's doing on those runs. And
it's just, he's a rock god.
He is a rock god. How about you, Ella?
I really liked It's a Kind of Magic just because of the lights and the guitar, the fireworks.
The guitar, because of Brian May's guitar.
Really cool.
It was.
And Radio Gaga, I mean, like, we were up there and we just saw all the people, like, clapping.
The
and it was really cool.
The hands. The first time you see that with your own eyes. Was it the first time you'd seen Queen live?
No.
Okay. No. So I'm going to ask, were you early teens? Late teens?
14.
14, okay. All right, so that was about the age that I was getting into Queen myself.
Yeah.
So how many times have you been to see Queen now at this point?
This is my fourth time, right?
That's awesome. That's really good parenting.
I know. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It was a true highlight of the show. I really do.
It was. That was a real combination of obviously brilliant playing, but the production, the lighting, the fireworks. Brian didn't just have pyrotechnics for the sake of it. You know, they were intrinsically driven by the music. Mm. And that is so Queen, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that bit. That was... And it came at the right moment in the set list as well, where you're like, we're kicking off for the big rush to the end now. Yeah.
And everyone got up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At that point. Right. I think for that reason, like if you weren't standing by that point, you would be.
Yes. You probably couldn't.
Imagine, my good Lord.
Yeah.
Mm. The seats are very cramped.
Yeah, exactly. The day will talk.
I did ask Adri, who was, I think, the youngest person who had come to the AGM, and she's so sweet. I asked Adri what her favourite track was.
Loved it when Innuendo came on, but Seven Seas of Rye.
Really?
Because it's one of my three favourite songs.
Yeah.
Because Great King Rat, Seven Seas of Rye, and March of the Bat Queen.
Right, so you're deep into early Queen.
I like it.
That's where
I like
they're heaviest and rawest and... Somehow they sound the freshest during that period as well, don't they? How cute is that?
Yeah.
What a great choice.
Yeah.
That's coming proper.
To, you know, new listeners coming to the pod, coming to Queen, and I love it. They're just going, I like all their heavy bloody stuff. They're exactly the same as all the original fans go, I'm not interested in the 80s stuff, I'm not the 70s stuff. All the new kids are like, we're all about the 70s. So I thought that was amazing. And then, like you, we had one person who'd never seen Queen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I'd ask her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maria, what was your highlight track of the night for you? What was your favourite moment?
Last night?
Yeah,
oh
last night.
Oh, my God, do you really want me to pick only one?
Well, what was the moment you keep thinking about? You just go, I'm going to remember
well,
that for the
okay.
rest of my days.
What I'm going to say is I had to sing Love of My Life with Freddie, which I got to do.
Oh.
and I got to cry,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole show was incredible.
So you've never seen Queen before,
I had never seen Queen before live. So for me, seeing them last night with all of you guys, it was even much better.
No. She didn't have as much tequila as Suze did.
that's the big difference.
That's the difference, yeah. Maybe that should come with your ticket, a bottle of tequila, and
nice.
Save it for the show.
I love that you've been building up to this thing for 3 years. You get there and you go, all right, let's get the best.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get Blotto.
Got to drink my way for a concert. Very nice stuff.
Yeah.
And a year later, you're like, yeah, I was there.
Can we just spare a thought, though? There is a story that I heard of a couple who, like you, had bought tickets for a show and were really looking forward to seeing Queen and Adam Lambert. And because of COVID, it was delayed. And so they had a proper, you know, like you, 2.5 year wait till they actually got to go. And they were absolutely thrilled when they turned up to watch it, realising they'd bought tickets for the Queen extravaganza.
Oh.
And they sat there and went, who's this?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's devastating. They must have thought, these are nice and cheap.
Yeah, I think it was in Sheffield Town Hall or something.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay.
What?
Oh, no.
How do you fail to notice?
Yeah, well, that takes some doing. Why would the tickets be, like, £23?
Well, there's lots of clues, I guess.
Like Sheffield Town Hall,
but, you know.
And probably the description of the event.
It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I have heard this before, sort of, you know, parents where their kids are saying, I've got tickets to see Taylor Swift, and they were £10. And, like, I don't think you have.
No.
And then you go online and you realise it's something that sounds a little bit like that. But, you know, these kids have got really excited. So they probably just thought, wow, we've scored a bonus here. We've found tickets. And they're only £20. Brilliant. Let's get there. Let's get in there. The Queen Extravaganza. I can't remember where I heard it, but someone told me this story. I think they were sort of disappointed, which is a shame because Queen Extravaganza is a great show.
Imagine if they said it was actually much better than Queen.
Well, they didn't notice. Wouldn't that? Yeah. Well, there you go. So that was the Queen and Adam Lambert Rhapsody tour that we all got to experience. Which was amazing. So if you got to see that somewhere across Europe, I hope you had as good a time as Roe and I did when we saw it, and Sam, probably not as good a time as Suze had when she went, but you know, if you came close, then that's a win.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if by the time this pod goes out, there will have been a tour announcement or not of whether they're back on the road, but I know whenever asked, the guys say they are talking, so hopefully...
Right.
That isn't the last.
And they told me that it's decided.
Oh, that it's the breakthrough tour.
It's
a breakthrough tour, of course. Well, you have an inside track.
All breakthrough, all the time.
All the time.
I want to hear that song live. Just want to hear that song live so much. Can you imagine? The whole place would go nuts. We'd all just form a giant train and go mad.
well, we're nearly out of time, but before, let's play a game.
Yeah.
Play the game.
Sam, what do you got for us?
Got a very fun, light question this week from James Daniels,
who
is a lovely Patreon member. At least he was when he asked this question. I hope he still is.
He's since left during the course of this pod.
All James wants to know is if you had to buy just one Queen t-shirt to wear to your very first Queen gig, what would it be? And I think this could be a Queen t-shirt that you guys have seen, that you know exists, that you own, or one that you could make up yourselves, I think.
Yeah. What t-shirt did you wear?
I've got a vest that I've had since I was 15 that just says made in the 80s on it. But I wore it with my Freddie Mercury, with his 39th birthday replica jacket.
Nice.
Which one's that?
It's a military one, but it's black.
With the black
with bigger.
That! Shoulders, yeah.
Yeah,
it's from the Living in My Own video.
Yes.
Oh my God, you look freaking fabulous in that.
I wore that, and I've got some Azies jeans that are very, very Queen of Live Aid, all that. My brother he's got the, the cartoon print t-shirt that Freddie wears in Live at Wembley.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
The Betty Boop.
Yeah. He wore that. Nice.
Oh, that's good choices.
Yeah, that is really good. I've always loved the A Kind of Magic t-shirt, those caricatures of the band.
Yeah.
So I think that looks cool.
Yeah.
And it sort of says,
I've been around the block with Queen, you know.
Yes.
I've been with them front. That's the that's the look.
I want that as a tattoo, actually.
Yeah. What about you?
I think I sort of tried to come up with a clever answer, but I think I will just go for a Day at the Races on black.
Yeah.
I love the lettering. Mm, I love the crest on the black.
Yeah.
And it is sufficiently authentic enough for other Queen fans in the room to recognise that you know, if you're wearing a Day at the Races t-shirt, that's specific enough. Or,
yes.
or a nice news of the World. That there's some really lovely News of the World t-shirts.
Yeah, I've got a good News of the World.
Right,
one.
So I think something that is very specific that indicates to those around you that you do know all of the words to all of the songs, and if they don't, they need to get in the sea.
Right.
That's... Yes. Well, I hope that answers the question. We picked three T-shirts. That's great. Lovely. Well, thank you very much for listening, and thank you guys for joining us yet again on another Queen Pod. We'll be back next time. So, Ro, thank you very much.
You're welcome, mate. Thank
Producer
you,
Sam. And, of course, to our special guest, the marvellous Suze Kepner.
Thank you.
See you all soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been The Queen Pod, a Seven Seas Films production, edited and produced by me, Sam Easton. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and stay in touch by emailing queenpod@thequeenpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.